Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
An Erio's original.
And welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into the weirdest, strangest, and most mysterious corners of the internet. I'm Allie Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Stettin.
Who are our patrons for today?
Emily and Caroline in
welcome
the city.
Welcome to the team. Welcome to the team, guys. We're so happy to have you. Today's episode is crazy.
I love it. I'm so excited that you're doing this episode. I forgot all about this. It's incredible. It's a credible story.
You were the one who showed this to me.
Yeah, this is, came out last. Was this last year this came out?
Yeah, I think this is last year. Because during longer than that, it was 2021. And I'll tell you how
it's
I know that.
It's all a blur. It's all
I know. Because I asked ChatGPT to write an episode on it. And
I love how ChatGPT, we've asked it to write episodes. It writes like a paragraph.
Yes. Yes. Excuse me. This happened in 2022 because I asked ChatGPT to write an episode on it and it doesn't have information. It doesn't know anything after 2021.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So I guess maybe it's just the beta version of ChatGPT if you're not paying for it.
Wait, really? Like if you ask it about something that happened in the news?
I mean, that's what it said to me when I was trying to get it to write this episode. It was like, we're only updated up to the year 2021. We do not have any recent information about this topic.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, maybe you have to like pay for it or something.
Yeah, I was stunned that I actually had to start doing work. So,
wow.
Hold on one second.
How dare you?
Yeah, yeah
Asher,
I was offended. So, yeah. So, anyways, you told me about this. We're going to get into the case of this Grey's Anatomy writer, Elizabeth Finch, who lied about having cancer. And that's just even the start of it.
You love Grey's Anatomy.
Right. So this is how we got into it. During quarantine, I started binge watching Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
I don't know if I loved it or if I was just incredibly bored.
I know a lot of people who watch it and who like it.
Yes. I watched, I think, 8 seasons in a month, maybe. Something crazy.
And those are like 22 episode seasons.
Oh, yeah. It's not... I dedicated a large portion of my time to this.
I mean, look, I did all 10 seasons of Vanderpump in like 6 weeks, so.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to do.
It's easy.
And then I dropped off because it got insane. It's a ridiculous show. Made even more ridiculous by writers like Elizabeth Finch who are lying about their entire lives. Let's get into it. Elizabeth Finch, a writer on this show, she wrote 13 episodes on the show and produced 172 episodes.
So that's how many seasons is that? 5, like 8?
Yeah, a lot, I believe. Who is this psychopath?
Who is she?
Who is this lady? She grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Does New Jersey explain everything? Who knows?
Who knows?
She wrote plays in high school for her theater department, so she was always into writing. She went to Carnegie Mellon when she was in college. So she's an intelligent woman. In college, her mother was diagnosed with cancer and survived.
Is that true?
Yes. But okay. That's interesting because there's really no reliable narrator in this story.
Right.
Even me, dare I say.
Wow. Uh-oh.
Yeah. But this becomes a pattern of her taking from other people's lives and pretending that it's her own.
Mm.
So she attended film school in California. She went to USC. She wrote a personal essay about her mother having cancer. And then she said that she took the gene mutation test to see if
yeah.
she, so what is it, the BRCA gene?
BRCA, BRCA.
It's, yeah.
If you have those, there's like, I think you have one or two gene mutations, you will most likely have breast cancer.
Right. And she said that she did have the gene.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yeah. Or did she?
Right. And I believe that that's what Angelina Jolie tested for, and she tested yes. positive. So she got a preventative double mastectomy.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Right. So she also wrote an essay on a stalker that she allegedly had from the military who had PTSD.
What?
Yes. Plot twist, spoiler alert, none of this is true. Her first job, and she got this job from her background in school, but also from these essays that she kept writing. She got a job on The Vampire Diaries. She also had a job on HBO's True Blood, and she started off as like a personal assistant for this guy who was, I believe, a showrunner on True Blood.
Loves vampires.
She loves vampires. Now, this part is true. I believe that this was around 2007. She had to have a knee replacement surgery because she got in a hiking accident. She like tripped while hiking or something and fucked up her knee, and she had to get knee replacement surgery. And it was this whole long ordeal of knee problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into it a little bit later once she finally confesses to doing all this lying. But that was kind of the catalyst to her realizing that when she's hurt or when she gets a
attention.
Lot of attention. Yeah. So she realized that when she was undergoing this knee replacement surgery, that people were really there for her and they wanted to check on her, see how she was doing, that they would drive her and take her places, things like that. She got hooked.
Got a little taste. Got a taste.
Got a little taste of what it's like to be cared for.
People are nice to me.
Yeah. And she couldn't get enough of it. In 2014, all of a sudden, she writes an article for Elle magazine called How Friends, Family, and Friday Night Lights Help Me Fight Cancer.
Oh.
Yes. So she has disclosed now that she has a rare form of bone cancer called, and excuse me if I mispronounce it, chondrosarcoma.
Sounds right.
Chondrosarcoma. She said that she got it in 2012, and it is the kind of cancer that, you know, like is ultimately terminal. It can't be cured by chemotherapy. You can only, you know, like maintain your comfort level.
Oh, geez.
And in this essay in 2014 that she writes for Elle, she says that, you know, she goes to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. Her friend Nick takes her and waits for her outside. And it turns out that this guy, Nick, is real. His name is Nick Bootner. He lives in Minnesota. This really happened, I guess, that she would go to Minnesota and go to the Mayo Clinic and have Nick take her. And Nick would drop her off and wait outside. And she would just sit inside the Mayo Clinic and like walk around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She would just like bring a book and like sit for however long she thought like an appointment would be or.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Clinical testing or things like that. And then she would come back out.
Oh.
Just to keep this ruse going.
That's fucked up.
I know. So a lot of this information is from a website called The Ankler, which is this great website made by this guy, Richard Rushfeld, who Melissa and I think that we know, but we don't know how.
Probably Twitter.
Yeah, I think
that's
probably
how I know
Twitter.
Everyone.
His website was the one who broke this story, actually. And then it was snowballed by websites like Vanity Fair and things like that. The person who broke this story was a gentleman named Peter Kiefer, who I've actually written for before. So I want to see if I can maybe reach out to him. Yeah, I went to high school with his sister. Yeah, anyways, he was the one who broke this story. So a lot of this information is from their website. So 2014, Finch starts to tell people she has chondrosarcoma, and she writes this article. This article gains a lot of traction, and it eventually gets into the hands of Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes is like, wow, this is incredible. This woman who, you know, is battling cancer and is a writer, she would be perfect for Grey's Anatomy. So she's hired to be a writer on Grey's Anatomy in 2014. She says during this time, this is just, the cancer is just the beginning. She alleges to lose a kidney due to chemotherapy.
Oh.
She says part of her tibia, which is what, your leg?
I think it's, yeah, leg bone.
Yeah, I was like, is that your vagina? Your tibia is removed. She said part of her tibia was removed. She says that somehow she got pregnant during this time and her fetus had to be aborted due to the chemotherapy.
Okay.
Like, it's just one thing after another with this one.
Wow.
Yeah. And she shows up to the writer's room, you know, she's losing weight, her hair is shaved, and, you know, she's wearing scarves over her head. She's vomiting. No. Yeah.
What?
And
she had like she put a fake port.
She put a port in her chest. Or not a port, but like she didn't actually put one in, but she put bandages over
her
chest.
Over it. Yeah.
So everyone thought that she had a port in her chest for the chemotherapy.
Oh my God. Yes. When she was throwing up, like, I wonder if she was actually throwing up or just like making the noises.
I mean, I assume she was probably making the noises because people in the writer's room said she kept going to the bathroom and they would hear her throwing up and that she was eating saltines the whole time and things like that.
Oh my God.
So this is from the Ankler. One of her colleagues says, and this is a quote, "We worked with someone who not only said she was sick with cancer, but looked sick with cancer. She regularly took breaks to vomit and only ate saltines for a period of time."
Wow.
Yeah. And there were 17 writers on the show. She was the only writer who identified as a person with a disability. They all thought that she was like an incredible inspiration, that she was so sick and would show up to work every day despite everything that she was going through.
I remember reading in the article they gave her like an extra comfortable chair.
Yes. And so she got all these things, like she would get paid time off to do clinical trials.
Oh, right.
She would get to leave every day to get chemo or if she wasn't feeling well. Things like she got different hours of work, things like that. She would get, you know, to go lie down whenever she needed to, things like that.
God.
Because of this quote unquote cancer she had and the chemotherapy that she was going through.
That's insane.
It gets like worse and worse. She does one thing later that's like one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Oh no.
So one of the characters on Grey's Anatomy is loosely based off her. It's this character, Dr. Catherine Avery, who I think I tapped out before that doctor came into. I think I might have tapped out. It's probably like season like 50. So she gives Catherine Avery the same type of cancer.
Right.
As she. Uh-huh. And by the way, I was watching a YouTube and this is a great question where it's like, when you're making up fake cancer, how do you decide what kind of cancer you're going to have?
That is a good question. And she picked, it's called chondrosarcoma or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's like a terminal. That's a hard one to come back from. Like that seems like a crazy one to pick. But I guess if you're going to pick cancer, you go for like the craziest one and then be like, oh, I survived. It's a miracle. And people are like, oh my God.
Oh, I guess.
Because I guess if you pick like, oh, you have skin cancer, you have melanoma. It's like, oh, you just, you know, that one's, you can get rid of that fairly easily. I guess you have to pick like a severe one.
Yeah. Oh, I guess maybe it's not terminal.
Oh.
But she said she had it in her spine, which I think is terminal.
Yeah, what a weird, how do you pick the cancer, I wonder?
I mean, that's almost the most sadistic part is like, imagine a moment where she's on the internet just like researching different types of cancer and being like, I'll choose this one.
Or didn't someone she, her ex have, I'm sure you'll get into it, but
well,
where she got
that's, we'll get into that in a second. Okay. Okay, yeah. So she gives this character the same cancer as she has, which is this spinal bone cancer, which can't be cured by chemotherapy, can only be operated on. But of course, it's the spine. So she'll either die from the surgery or she'll be paraplegic, et cetera, et cetera. And she says, I wanted Catherine, the character, to be diagnosed with a spinal tumor similar to mine. Only this time the doctors would tell her the truth because she, like the rest of the world, shouldn't have it any other way.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Okay. It gets worse and worse. So for her 40th birthday, she had a pajama party at her home with 100 people and announced that two doctors from the Mayo Clinic were there and had flown in to support her, but they didn't want to be identified.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah. So she's like making a cheers. Like, I'd like to thank the two doctors who are helping me through my treatment who flew all the way here for the.
They don't want to be recognized. They don't, you know, they're very humble.
Yeah. And everyone's like, wow.
Who are the doctors? Like, everyone's looking at each other like, oh, are you a doctor?
Yeah. And they're like, there ain't no doctors here. Crazy.
That's really fun. I'm going to do that my next party. I'm going to say, I know. Someone very important from the government here. I will not say who is here at my birthday party.
But honestly, like, she's pretty creative. Like, she's a good writer.
That's pretty good.
That's the thing that's bad is like, obviously, she's a good writer. She didn't have to.
I remember when this article
stuff
came out and Martin was like, well, she's very creative. Yeah, well,
she's pretty creative stuff. This is the worst thing that she did. So in October 2018, there was the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Tree of Life synagogue shooting. And I don't know if you remember this. Elizabeth said that one of the people who died there was her friend.
Oh, that's right.
And she said that she had to fly out to clean up the remains of her friend from the synagogue.
Oh, that's
as part
right
of Jewish tradition.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And this is not true. She demanded 6 weeks off for PTSD, and she became super upset when anyone in the writer's room would talk about guns or, you know, make any slang references in terms of guns or things like that.
Oh, my God. That is fucked up.
Yes. Horrible.
Oh,
so
my God.
She requested 6 weeks off for PTSD, and she went to Arizona to a mental health facility under a different name.
Miraval or whatever.
No, like seriously, yeah.
Under a different name.
Right. And she said she used a different name because she said she was like such a popular writer and producer that she didn't want to be.
Girl, nobody out knows a writer from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for announcements. Webcrawlers has a Patreon. To get access to bonus episodes, shout outs, discounts, and more, please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become a patron. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we will shout you out. And as always, Erios has a hotline. Insert jingle here.
626-604-6262.
Continue to call us and we will continue to play you on our mailbag episodes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Now, back to our program. So this is where she met her future wife,
or
future ex-wife, this woman, Jennifer Bear. So they met at the facility and they were roommates. Elizabeth told Jennifer that she was using an alias because she was a very famous writer.
Oh, God.
And after their time at the facility, Elizabeth invited Jennifer to come to town and spend time with her. Because I believe Jennifer lived in Arizona and Elizabeth was here in LA. That's when they started dating and eventually married. In 2019, Jennifer's ex-husband took his life. Jennifer's ex-husband was schizophrenic and dealt with some mental health issues. He was also physically abusive to Jennifer and emotionally abusive. And they had a troubled past with one another.
And they had kids, right?
And they had kids together. Elizabeth was like, So then, mysteriously, she told her writing staff that she had a brother who was physically and emotionally abusive to her and that he tried to take his own life but had shot himself in a way where he didn't die. So she needed to take time off to go to the hospital to pull the plug on him.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Because she said he killed himself, but no, she had to go pull the fucking plug.
But she had told her wife a different story, which was that her brother was stalking her.
Oh.
And was alive. So right now she has two different conflicting stories about her brother
going on.
How do you
keep those straight?
Yeah. So she requests time off to go pull the plug on her brother. This is from the Angler as well. "I've been gone because my brother died by suicide," she wrote in a note explaining an absence from Grays. "He was on life support for a short while, but ultimately did not survive." And then the Angler says, "Her brother Eric is a doctor and is very much alive and working today."
Oh, that's a crazy claim. I feel like that'd be easy to disprove.
Yes.
That's so crazy. You know, my brother killed him. Like, that would be easy to, like, look up the obituary or whatever, and you just don't find anything.
I think she would continually have these, like, tantrums in the room, and no one wanted to step on her toes because it was
No one would question her because she's dying.
Right. She's going through one thing after the other, and people are like, okay, do whatever you need, whatever you need.
Yeah.
And then I think finally, this is what happens. Okay, so Jennifer starts getting a little confused because it's kind of like 90 Day Fiancé. If you're watching 90 Day Fiancé the other way, there's this story with this narcoleptic woman.
Oh my God.
And it's one thing after another with her.
Ugh.
And I think that's what happened with Jennifer and Elizabeth, where Jennifer's like, this is just a little bit too much happening to one person.
Yeah.
Like, if this is true, that's horrible, but this is just a lot has happened to this woman. She starts stalking her Facebook. She starts realizing little discrepancies. She notices that the day that Jennifer says that she was cleaning up at the synagogue, she was actually in Los Angeles hanging out with friends.
Elizabeth, you got to be on this.
Yes. And there are also several, like, medical discrepancies. Uh-huh. that's when, you know, fans start to notice inconsistencies as well.
Oh.
First of all, she's not only a writer of Grey's Anatomy. This is someone who has written several personal essays.
Right.
On cancer and battling cancer. And if you remember 2012 through 2014, that was the years of the personal essay.
Oh, yes. That's what I was
like,
at.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you and I, that's like the only reason we have followers and are and were verified on Twitter is because we would write personal essays.
Yeah.
So there was women who had cancer, were battling cancer, who had been through things and were fans of Elizabeth because they could relate to her. They idolized her. They started looking at her social media and they were like, wow, things are not adding up. This woman is going through so much. She keeps writing these essays about everything she's going through. And it just doesn't correlate to her Facebook and the other things that she's going through. And details about her prognosis, like other people who had the same cancers or things that she was going through were like, no, that doesn't, that's not what that is. Also, people who claim to have been her doctors or fellow patients said, we don't know that woman.
Oh, no. I don't know her.
Yeah. So people started comparing notes and this is when the snowball started happening.
No. I remember reading, I read something about like she tweeted at Delta because she was mad that she had to check a bag. And she's like, Delta, how dare you make a cancer patient check their medication or check their meds?
Oh my
God. Like she was living that life. It was crazy.
Yeah. Apparently around this time, which is crazy, this writer, Peter Kiefer from The Ankler, is getting wind of all of this, and he calls Finch.
Oh.
And says, this is from The Ankler. On Finch's 44th birthday this year, she received a call from a number she didn't recognize. Thinking it was another well-wisher, she answered. It was a reporter calling to inform
her. Oh, I bet it's someone calling me to wish me well. Person. Everyone's calling me.
Everyone loves me. It was a reporter calling to inform her that he was planning to publish a damaging story that challenged the central narrative that had helped build her career. The reporter, who had been trying to get in touch with her for days, wanting to give Finch a chance to tell her side of the story, caught off guard, Finch hurriedly replied, "Now is not a real good time," and hung up. And then he says, "I know this because I was the reporter who called her and broke the story."
Oh,
dun,
shit.
Dun, dun. Yeah. Jennifer confronted Elizabeth, and Elizabeth finally confessed that she didn't have cancer now, but she did in the past.
Okay.
Not true. But she liked the attention and didn't want to give it up. And Elizabeth started telling this to some people, but she refused to tell her coworkers.
Oh, no.
Yes. Again, she's lying. She's never had cancer.
Yeah, right.
So Jennifer was like, "We're getting a divorce. This is weird. I'm not going through all this craziness."
Yeah.
And Jennifer contacted Shondaland and said, I need you to know this about Elizabeth. Like, she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. None of this is true. And then the Ankler article came out, as did, you know, the Vanity Fair article and everything subsequent to that.
Dang.
Shondaland was like, "We're looking into it, blah, blah." And eventually she was fired. So finally, Elizabeth Finch circles back to the Ankler, to Peter Kiefer, and says, "I would actually like to do an interview with you, and I want to tell my story."
Wow.
And she fesses up to everything.
Oh, I don't know that I've read this.
Yeah, no, this is like December 7th, 2022.
Oh, okay.
She says, this is from The Ankler, "I told a lie when I was 34 years old, and it was the biggest mistake of my life. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger and got buried deeper and deeper inside of me. I've never had any form of cancer.
Oh, no.
I know it's absolutely wrong what I did. I lied and there's no excuse for it, but there's context for it. The best way I can explain it is when you experience a level of trauma, a lot of people adopt a maladaptive coping mechanism. Some people drink or hide or forget things. drug addicts try to alter their reality. Some people cut. I lied. This was my coping and my way to feel safe and heard. So again, like I said, she explains how she got this way. This is all, again, from the anchor, Peter Kiefer. We'll put this in our story notes. She says she showed him a 6-inch scar on her kneecap during the 2007 writer's strike.
Oh,
shout out to the Writers Guild. She was hiking because I guess, you know, she was out of a job and hiking in Temescal Canyon, and she injured herself. And it was years of medical purgatory, he puts it afterwards. It took multiple surgeries to figure out what the problem was. She got knee replacement surgery. Like I said, she became dependent on friends. Right. And when she recovered, that's when the lies started, because everyone was so amazing leading up to the surgeries, giving her like food and rides and et cetera. And then all of a sudden she was healed and no one was there for her anymore. And she needed this coping mechanism because she still wanted attention and support.
Wow.
So what is this? I went back to our old buddy that I watched in the episode of the writer. What was his name? Like Dr. Todd Goldman or something like that.
Oh, the guy who was like
the mean YouTuber. Mean psychologist YouTuber. Yeah. And he says that this is called fictitious disorder, formerly known as Munchausen syndrome.
Oh yeah, I guess it is Munchausen. Yeah.
So you make up fake illnesses and disorders for attention. This guy, Dr. Mark D. Feldman, who is the author of Dying to Be Ill, True Stories in Medical Deception, says that these people who have this disorder, it's overwhelmingly women.
Oh.
It's either Munchausen or Munchausen by proxy. So Munchausen is when you do it against yourself. Excuse me. Munchausen by proxy is when you like have a kid or something and you're constantly pretending they're sick or like getting them sick so that you can take care of them. So these people often work in the healthcare industry or adjacent so that they can gain access to medical information so that they're more knowledgeable. So it's kind of interesting that she was on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So she could have access to tons of medical information. I also watched an interview with her before any of this came out. It was her doing like a writer's podcast interview. And she's talking about how she got to go to hospitals and look at, you know, shadow people in hospitals and things like that so that she could get her information for the show. So she was entrenched in the medical community. So these lies compound and compound. And these people either have to come clean, pretend that they're cured, or just move to a whole other country, you know, and then just
like start
their lives
over. I wonder how many people who have done this, who have been like, I'm cured. And then like no one ever questioned them again.
Well, this guy says that sometimes they have to just claim divine intervention.
Wow.
Like, oh my God, like God cured me. I don't know what happened. Like, I'm just fine now.
Wow. I wonder if I know anyone who's like faked it.
Well, there was that guy on, remember, Real Housewives of Orange County, Brooks.
Was
faking cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's weird that this is a thing that people
do.
It's
so crazy, but I guess you get so much attention.
Right.
And like you get money.
It's bizarre.
That's
so
crazy.
Apparently, so there's a photo. There's photos that go along with this article in the Ankler. There is a photo shoot that went along with it. And apparently after the article, Elizabeth emailed the writer and said, hey, can you give me the extra photos from the shoot that aren't going to be used, particularly any photos where I'm crying?
What?
Like she would like, I don't know. She was super interested in photos of herself crying. Like she probably wanted to use them for attention or for something else or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. As of this interview being written, 2022, she wasn't working, but she said her dream was to be a writer on The Handmaid's Tale.
I mean, no one's going to hire her, right?
I don't know. Let's look. I mean, that would be insane.
I looked at her Instagram.
Oh,
it's
what is it?
Public. She's living her life. She has comments turned off.
As she should.
But she is just out and about going to the Hollywood Bowl. Her last post for Mother's Day is like a picture of her mom. And then I think it's her ex's kids. Because she writes, I love my mama and I miss mamaing these humans every day. And I believe it's pictures of her ex's kids.
I mean, it must be. Yeah, I'm sure she probably doesn't have.
No, they're like, I would imagine they don't. Their mom would not let them see her. Like, that's so.
Yeah.
And she posted about the writer's strike. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
You're just pretending like it didn't happen.
So she was a writer from 2014 to it says 2015 to 2021 on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
2012 to 2014, she worked on The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, like, what does she do now?
Yeah, I mean, she's not on IMDb anywhere. That'd be funny if she was, like, collecting disability or something. I mean, I don't even...
There aren't any photos, like, cancer photos on Instagram or anything. I was looking back to see if, like, she had, like, shaved head photos. Yeah. Or, like...
I mean, that's what's great. She literally shaved her head.
Yeah.
And would pretend to throw up at work and put a fake port in herself.
That's so crazy. She has a post up from 2019. It's a screenshot of a Hollywood Reporter. It's like, Grey's Anatomy producer, why my cancer disability became a storyline. And she's like, I got a little, wrote about ableism and representation in the writer's room. Like, she's writing articles about disability. Like,
so that's another point in terms of, like, ableism is she, part of the big issue was of this is she's making it seem like, or her perception is that disability gets you positive attention.
Yeah.
And that's incorrect for so many people who have disability, is that with disability, you're actually at increased risk for discrimination. And that's the problem with her perception and this idea that she's perpetuating. And even, like, people with disability are more likely to not get jobs or be
discriminated against,
be in abusive relationships, like, so on and so forth, you know, not have access to insurance. So it's just, I don't know. It's just, this lady is, and the synagogue shooting thing. It's just,
that
one
is,
thing after.
That's fucked up.
It's vile. Like, she's, anyways, that's the story of Elizabeth Finch, Grey's Anatomy writer and Vampire Diaries.
And True Blood.
Two shows I've watched. If you know what she's up to now, I'm curious because we don't know. We can't figure it out.
I'm sure she's like writing a book or something, or
probably. Maybe she's writing romance, self-publishing romance novels.
Yeah, pretty lucrative.
Melissa, where can people reach us?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com.
All right. Well, I am Allie Siegel.
I am Melissa Stettin.
And that's all, folks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Original.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.